Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you please make your way over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And today we're going to be looking at verses 8 and 10 in Hebrews chapter 11. And as we begin this message this morning, I'm reminded as we go through this of what it's like going through a museum. You know, you go through a museum and you look at one exhibit after another, and each exhibit tells its own story, provides maybe little details concerning a bigger picture, so that way in the end they all come together. Well, that's what we find here in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a chapter of faith where we find one example after another. And today I believe we're going to be reminded again that faith is nothing new. Our generation, faith is nothing new today. Faith, as we have seen, was back and evident in the life of Abel, in Enoch, and even in Noah. And as we'll see this morning, it was also displayed in Abraham. The Bible says that he lived by faith, according to Romans chapter 4, verse 11. It says that he is the father of all them that believe. You know, in Abraham, we're going to find an example of the life of faith. You see, the declaration was given. Paul, in Hebrews chapter 10, had already declared that the just shall live by faith. And here this morning in verses 8 and 10, I believe we are going to see the example of how we are to live by faith. How we are to live by faith. You see, Abraham not only followed God by faith, but he continued by faith. You see, this morning as we live here on earth, life is not just, I mean, we trust in Christ as our Savior, but we're to continue by faith with the Lord. You know, many struggle when times become difficult or when their faith is challenged, and many are tempted to quit. Here this morning, I hope if you find yourself in that situation, tempted to quit or tempted to get discouraged, I pray this message will be an encouragement to you and that you'll be reminded of living by faith. And if you're not discouraged today, praise God. And hold on to this. There may come a day where you are discouraged or you are tempted to quit. And this will be a reminder. Take the notes. Remember back to this passage. Go back, read it, study it, and remind yourself of the faith that Abram had, or Abraham, to live for the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin reading in verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Dear Lord, we come to you this time. Thank you for blessing us. And as we look at these three verses, we ask that you will bless us this morning from your word. I pray that we will get the understanding of the teachings that we find here. I pray that we see the example of Abraham and his faith. And I pray also, Lord, that we apply that faith to our life. I pray that we will, of course, trust in you for salvation if there's anyone here that's not saved. But afterwards, I pray that we will live by faith. Please bless us today from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning I want to begin with a statement. I believe it's important, and I also believe it's possible to have a life of faith. I believe it's possible to live a life of faith. In other words, I believe it's possible to follow God, continuously looking for Him. And as we live here on earth, I believe each one of us can achieve that. We can all live by faith. And today, as we look at Abraham's example of faith, we're going to notice three, I guess, say, considerations, or consider three thoughts concerning his example. The first thing we're going to notice is that he emigrated from his country. We're going to see he did this by faith. We're going to see, secondly, that he endured once he arrived in that country. And finally, we're going to see that he expected, or he looked forward to what God had for him. Verse 8, it says there, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance," it says he obeyed. Notice first that Abraham emigrated from his homeland. He had to leave. That's what God called him to do. I want to read just the corresponding passage from Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. If you're taking notes, it's Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. I just want to read this quickly to see the call that Abram had. It says in verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. Make thy name great. He says, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed, it says, out of Haran. What we find is that Abram, or Abraham, as his name was later changed to, Abraham received God's call to leave his country and his family to follow God. Now, it's never easy to leave. And I imagine for Abraham it was difficult, knowing that he probably would not return. You know, I don't think Abraham planned on returning. He didn't leave anything behind. The Bible says he picked up everything and he went. He followed God completely. You see, he left by faith. And the reason why he left was not because he was looking for some great adventure. It was not because he just got bored with what was going on in his city there at Ur. He left because God called him. He left because God directed him, and so he followed God. You see, the Bible does not tell us how he received this call. It was probably audible, is my opinion, but it doesn't tell us how he received this call from the Lord. But we know he received it, and he chose to follow it. You know, today there are some that are seeking a vision. They're not going to make any decisions unless the Lord just gets right on their doorstep, or so they say, and provides this vision or this great, happening in their life. And some are even hoping for an audible voice. Others say, well, you know, if God would speak to me, if God would just tell me this, then guess what? I would follow. I'm going to tell you something this morning. God has told us. Not only has he told us that he loves us and that he cares for us and that he sent his son, but he has told us how to live for him, and it's right here in his written word. He has given us a letter, so to speak. How many of you have received a birthday card? Or maybe a letter from a friend that just arrived in the mail. And when you open up, you read it, and you're encouraged. Maybe it brings a smile to your face, and you're just thankful for your friend or family member who sent you that card or that letter. Let me ask you a question. Do you doubt what was said in there? No. It was written. Your friend may have not have arrived and told you audibly, but you believe it because they wrote it. Tomorrow, many of you are going to make some decisions at work simply because someone sent you an email. You might even receive some emails from across this nation or across this world, and you're going to make some decisions based upon what someone said in that email. You're not going to say, well, I'm not going to do this until they stand right before me and audibly tell me what to do. No, you're going to trust what they said based upon the email. This morning, God has given us His Word. Really, when you think about it, we trust Him through His Word because what He has said, and we go to it. You see, it's the authority makes no difference. It's not, I guess you say, less of an authority because it's written. Actually, it's just as much of authority as if God would have stood right before us and spoke to us. It's His Word, and we should follow it. You see, Abraham placed his faith in God and in God's promise. He didn't place his faith in a location. He didn't place his faith in a situation. He placed it in God. This morning, that's what I want to challenge you to do. Place your faith in God. It begins with salvation. God has told us how we can have our sins forgiven, how we can approach Him, and that's through Jesus Christ. We need to place our faith in God through Jesus Christ. Afterwards, place your faith in God. Trust in Him to provide your needs. Trust in Him to provide comfort. Trust in Him to provide direction and anything else that you may require in this world. Trust in God and place your faith in Him. You see, Abraham was committed to God. I tell you what, he was tested immediately. God says, pick up everything and follow after me. You know, what we find next is that Abraham emigrated, not knowing where he was going. The Bible says he was called out to an unknown land, a place he had never seen, probably never even heard of. God says, just pick up and come after me. It was a distant and strange country. Abraham may have even wondered where he was going when he first set out. He was just going. Now notice a few things. First, the direction was clear. Abraham was to pick up everything he had and follow God. But the details were unknown. You see, what I want you to notice is that Abraham was not just out wandering, hoping to find a place. He wasn't just making a stab in the dark, hoping to get his way and be fortunate to find a nice piece of land. He didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God did. You see, he wasn't just a foolish wanderer. He was going to a place, and that place was where God was taking him. You see, God knew the destination, and so Abraham was willing to follow. You know, this morning, there are people today seeking and seeking and seeking, and many never find the truth. Because they're seeking a new way or a way that will appeal to the flesh. You know, the Bible says God has already made it clear that the way to Him is through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus made that clear while He was on earth. So we must put our faith in Christ, and then we're to abide in Christ. We find that in the book of John, chapter 15. Afterwards, we're to abide in Christ so we can be blessed. You see, Abraham had the directions. He didn't know the destination, but God did. You know, as we get back to Abraham now, I can hear it now. He's packing up all his tents and getting everything together and in order. Maybe he's saying his goodbyes and getting ready to leave the city of Ur. And I imagine someone had to have asked Abram, "Where are you going?" "I don't know." "What? You're packing up everything and you're leaving and you don't even know where you're going? Well, which direction are you going?" "Well, I'm heading that way." "Well, that means you're going over there." "Well, I don't know." You know, I wonder how many snickered. I wonder how many mocked. You know, the Bible calls him faithful Abraham. I imagine people called him other things than that in his city as he headed on out, not knowing where he was going. I wonder how many encouraged him, if any. You see, today that's how it is when we live by faith. You see, this morning, the world, when I say the world, those that care less about God, those that have no desire to seek after God. You know, this morning there are probably people in the world that don't understand why you're here. They don't understand why you would get up on Sunday morning, get ready, and come to church. To them, it's foolishness. To them, they'd rather go out and do something else. They don't understand why you're here. You know, to the world, many of them don't understand why you refuse to partake in their sinful lifestyles. Why you choose to live for God according to His Word. Some of them probably don't understand why you want to read the Bible, why you spend time in prayer. Some probably don't understand why you choose to live faithful and truthful in all areas, with your spouse, with your children, and in business. They say, why you do that? Some of them may even snicker and mock and laugh, make fun of us. What it is, they don't understand because they live by sight. They don't live by faith. You see, believers, we live by faith. We have faith in Christ. We have faith in God. We have faith in God's Word and in God's promises. The world, on the other hand, lives as if, well, if it feels good, do it. They live by the senses. They live by what they see, what they think is. They can reason out. In other words, they live to please themselves instead of living to please God. And see, that's the difference. Abraham, I think, wanted to please God. And by the way, do you realize faith, if it's placed in God, faith that is placed in God, correct faith, is a better guide than logic or reason ever could be. Why? First, because God is trustworthy. Do you realize God will never fail you or never forsake you? The Bible tells us that. God is trustworthy. Secondly, God is perfect. He's not going to lead you in the wrong direction. He's not going to lead you in an unwise decision. He's perfect. And then thirdly, and this may be, to me, the most encouraging, God knows what's going to occur tomorrow. That's why it's best to put our faith in Him. And that's why faith, when it's placed in God, is better as far as a guide than reason or logic. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't even know what's going to happen at the end of this day. I can guess, or I can maybe give you what I think is going to happen. God knows exactly what's going to occur. He knows what's going to occur in your life. He knows what's going to occur around your life that's going to affect you. So it's best to trust in God. Abraham emigrated by faith is what he did. He emigrated by faith. The trip was long. It was dangerous. The entire journey from Ur to the land that God was going to give him was about 800 miles. And keep in mind, he didn't have a plane. He didn't have an automobile. He had a path. He didn't have a modern highway to travel. So it was a long journey for Abraham. But the Bible tells us he submitted to God's will and he trusted God's direction. You see, that's faith. Submitting to God's will, trusting God's direction. You know, think of Abraham, even if he had a GPS, he didn't know where he was going. It wouldn't have done him no good. Even if he had a map, he didn't know where God was taking him. You see, Abraham was unable to reason this one out. He couldn't logically explain this. God said, come on, let's go. You know, sometimes God will lead you really like that. Sometimes God will lead you in an unfamiliar way, and all you can do is trust in Him. Maybe it's for your career. Maybe it's with your personal life. Maybe it's concerning your family. Sometimes God will lead you and allow things in your life that are unfamiliar, that you don't know the direction God's taking you, and you just have to trust in Him. That's what Abraham did. He went by faith. You know what we also find is Abraham fully committed to God. He didn't hold nothing back. The Bible tells us he packed up everything and he went. You know, today faith is found when it is convenient. You know, when personal interests are served is when many have faith. Abraham, when you think about this, he didn't boast about his faith. You know, today we have a lot of talking about faith. Abraham didn't boast about his faith. He just lived by faith, walked with God. You see, when the road becomes difficult, when the road becomes hard, and you're tempted to quit, we don't need boasting, we need faith in God, and we just need to trust in Him. You know, we just need to be obedient like Abraham was. When you think about it, faith, when we have faith in God, you know what it does? It delivers us completely into God's hands. It does. It says, God, we trust You 100% with this life. I trust You 100% with where You're taking me, the direction You're leading me, the people You're allowing into my life. I trust You and I'm going to follow You. There's a story about a young man who just trusted in Christ. He'd been saved for several months and he was eager and excited to serve the Lord. And he went home one day. He got out a piece of paper. And on the top of the piece of paper, he put there, he said, my life for God. And then underneath that, he began to make a list of all the things he was going to do. He made this long list and he went to church that next Sunday. He didn't tell anybody. He went to church that next Sunday and he went up to the altar and he got that list and he just began to pray over that list. And he went home. And he thought he was going to find peace. He got home and a few days later he realized there was no peace there. So he sat down later that week and he got out his list and he flipped the other side over and he began to write all the things he wasn't going to do. See, at first he wrote all the things he was going to do. And then he began to write all the things he wasn't going to do. All these sins he was going to stay away from. And so that next Sunday came and he went forward, did the same thing. During the invitation he got out his paper and he prayed over those things. And he said, I'm going to not do this, I'm going to do this, and so forth. And he went home that day and he still didn't find any peace or contentment. So he called up his pastor, who had been in the ministry several years. And he met his pastor in the office and he told his pastor what he had done and explained all that had occurred and he asked for his advice. And his pastor looked at him and he said, I'll give you an idea. How about you go home, he said, and take a new piece of paper, he said, and write the same thing on top, my life for God. He said, and then leave it blank. He goes, and take that to the altar and pray over that. You see, that young man, from my understanding, got the point. It wasn't about what he could do or what he could not do. It was about surrendering his life to God and letting God work through him. And then following when God began to direct, trusting God with each situation and each matter, and then just leaving it to God. You see, this morning, that's what I believe God wants us to do. Trust Him with our life. He has saved us. He's providing an eternal home for us. I believe if He has saved us and He's providing the eternal home, you think about it, those are the two ends, salvation and an eternal life. I believe He can take care of the in-between if we just trust in Him. And that's what faith is, trusting in God. You see, Abraham emigrated by faith is what he did. He didn't know where he was going, but he believed God did. So he went, trusting in God, without question, faith. Secondly, we go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. He says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, of the same promise. I want you to notice this morning, the second thought I have for you is by faith, Abraham endured. He endured. In other words, the faith of Abraham to endure. Here in verse 9 of Hebrews 11. First, he endured as a sojourner, the Bible tells us. Now, a sojourner, it implies one that is a lodger. Have you ever gone on vacation and you stay at a hotel? Or maybe you stay with family. And you stay, and the whole point is not to stay to live, but to stay for a short period of time. Maybe a few days, maybe a week, and then you move on. You go to your next destination or you return home. That's a sojourner. That's what Abraham was on earth. That's what we find here. He says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. In other words, he was there for a short period of time. Now you think of Abraham, when he went into the land, God called him to go into this land. And you know what the Bible tells us? When he arrived in this land, you know what? He began to look around and the land was inhabited. There were people all over the place. And I imagine Abraham, at least I would have wondered, God, you sure this is the place? There are people here. And when Abraham went into that land, he didn't have the means to purchase it. He became wealthy later, but when he went in, he didn't have that money. He didn't have the means to purchase that land. He didn't have an army to conquer the land. He just went where God directed. And eventually, when he came to the end of his life, the only portion of land on earth that he owned was a place to be buried in for him and his wife and eventually some more of his family. That's all he owned. You know, I think Abraham never planned on earth being his final residence. I don't think so. I think as he came in and he began to be led by God and began to understand the situation, he realized that he was a sojourner. Later, we find in Hebrews that he was called a pilgrim. He was a traveler. He understood that this was not his final destination, that there was another place that he would go to, as we'll see here in a minute. And so the Bible tells us that he endured first as a sojourner, but also it says as a stranger in a foreign country. The land was inhabited by Canaanites. These people we know lived in tribes and they often fought against each other. They were very warlike and they fought often. So Abraham, as he came into this land, he was different. He wasn't the same. And he found himself in a dangerous situation. But he was where God wanted him. So he was protected. You know the best place to be this morning is where God wants you. If you are where God wants you, God will take care of you. I guarantee it. God will bless you. God will provide for you. It may not be always comfortable, may not always be easy, but if you're where God wants you, you're going to be blessed. That's the best place to be. Whether it's physically, at your work site, where you live, or even spiritually, as you're growing in the Lord, the best place to be is where God wants you, and God will bless you. Abraham found himself a stranger in a foreign land. But God would bless him. Also, we find that Abraham endured, it says there, in tabernacles. We find there in the land of promise, as in a strange country. It says, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. That word, tabernacles, refers to tents. That's what he lived in tents. He didn't have a trailer or a mobile home. Wherever they went, they erected tents and they stayed in their tents. Now, when you think about tents, they were temporary and they were movable. There was no foundation to tents as far as outside of the stake they drove in the ground. That's about it. But they didn't have the strong foundation as other buildings would have. You know what's interesting is when you read the life of Abraham, he never claimed a property as far as going and conquering a land. He never established a settlement. And he never built a city. And the one time that we find in the Scriptures where he was given the opportunity, Genesis chapter 14, he was given the opportunity to establish a kingdom. The Bible says that he went and he took back Lot and all the people of Sodom and brought them back. He was the conqueror. He had all these goods and he had the opportunity to gain the treasure and probably even run the people. The Bible tells us that he gave them back. He gave the people their freedom. He sent them back to the city and he even let them take their goods. The one time he had an opportunity to establish a kingdom or some kind of presence on earth, the Bible tells us he chose not to. You see, Abraham endured. He endured as a stranger, as a sojourner. And I believe it was because, as we'll see here in a little bit, he had his sights set on future events, on heaven. Bible tells us as we continue here, he says, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. That's his son and his grandson. You know, Abraham lived, of course, during Isaac's lifetime, but he also lived, it's believed, to see Jacob grow up to be about 17, 18 years old. So he lived during their same lifetime. Here's the point I believe the Bible is trying to get across to us. Do you realize Abraham endured? Based on the ages there, he went into the land and he endured as a stranger, as a sojourner, for about a century, 100 years. You see, he endured over a lengthy period of time. You know, it takes strong faith to wait. Because the longer the delay, the greater the trial. How many of you prayed over something? How many of you are still praying over something? You know, I know some people have prayed 20, 30 years. Some have prayed for someone for 20 or 30 years. Some have prayed for a situation for many years. And as you're praying, I guarantee the temptation will come to stop, to wonder, is this worth it? Is God hearing my prayers? Will He answer my prayers? This morning, I want to encourage you to continue by faith. If you're praying for someone, if you're praying for their salvation, a loved one or a friend, don't give up. Don't quit. Like Abraham, endure for a lengthy period of time by faith. Keep praying and trusting in God to hear that prayer and to answer that prayer. You know, this morning, I don't have the time to share with you of all the people that have shared with me testimonies of praying for a lengthy period of time and then seeing God answer that prayer. Some, the prayer was answered right, I guess you could say, at the last minute. When they thought it could never be answered, God answered that prayer. So continue by faith. You see, it takes strong faith to wait on God. You know, I imagine with Abraham, I imagine when he left the land, his homeland, I imagine it was exciting at first. You know, he's starting a new adventure and here he goes. But I imagine after he entered into the land, and keep in mind, God didn't talk to him every single day. I imagine as he's there in the land, there were probably times where he just wondered, you know, when's God going to talk to me again? Is he going to give me any new direction? Am I going to actually inherit any of the land in my lifetime? What's going to happen? But the Bible tells us he continued by faith, trusted in God. This morning, we have to continue by faith, trusting that God, really, that He's directing, that He's working on our behalf, and that someday we will stand before Him. You know, this morning, if I could tell you, now I can't, so I want you to know right up front, I can't tell you this, but this is hypothetical. If I could tell you that at the end of this week, Saturday night, that the Lord is going to return, and if I could prove it, and we knew for sure, now I can't, but if we knew for sure that the Lord is going to return on Saturday night, I imagine this week we would all be faithful and we would all be obedient. I imagine we'd probably go to work, but I'm sure we wouldn't have our hearts set on anything in this world. We would be so set on not only getting ready to meet God, but probably sharing the fact with our friends and family members. We would be living a life of faith, active faith. You see, this morning, we don't know when the Lord's going to return, or we don't know when He's going to call us home. So it's best to live like that. Active faith, trusting in God, living for the Lord, waiting on God, and patiently enduring the trials that we have here on earth. You see, here's what faith does. When you put your faith in God, as far as endurance, faith in God provides endurance through difficult times. And here's how, or here's why. First, faith understands that the situation is temporary. This morning, if you're in the midst of a trial, if you're dealing with a difficulty, you put your faith in God, and you know what happens? Faith understands that this trial will end someday. That this difficulty will pass, and you'll be able to rejoice with the Lord. You see, that's what faith does. It helps us understand that situations on earth are temporary. Also, faith produces contentment, knowing that God has something better. You see, we can endure the trials on earth because you know what? We know our God has something better for us, something waiting for us. He's preparing mansions and preparing a place for us to reside. And He has something better for us so we can be content struggling right now. Also, faith will lead us not to establish a permanent residence here, knowing that we'll live with God forever in eternity. You see, faith endures trials simply because when we have faith, we're focused on God. We're not focused on the situation. Instead, we're focused on the Lord. You know, Abraham endured by faith. He didn't receive the land immediately when he went in, but he continued to trust in God. And that leads us into our third verse and our third thought here this morning. Verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You see, faith to expect, or faith of Abraham to expect. In other words, to look for. That's what that word look means, eagerly to expect, is what that word means there. Abraham looked forward to a future. He eagerly expected a future with God. You know what we find is Abraham looked towards heaven and the eternal possessions instead of living for the earthly treasures here on earth. He was a sojourner, I believe, because there was nothing to compare with what he was looking to. You ever thought about that? The reason why Abraham had no interest in the treasures of this earth, because compared to what God had for him, they were nothing. Compared to what God had in store, the things of this earth were nothing to Abraham. God has great blessings waiting for us. You see, he was a sojourner because he focused on another place. He looked and he expected by faith because God promised. You know, Abraham, the Bible tells us, expected a city with foundations. And it says there, an eternal city. Verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations. Now first, notice he's not talking about cities. He says a city. One city is what he was looking for. One city. You know, in Abraham's time, a city was not only organized and established, but it was surrounded with walls for protection. And a city was a place where, of course, many lived, but also during a time of a raid or when armies would go out and march, people would gather themselves in the city. And many cities had storage buildings where they would store food and goods to withstand a siege. So a city was a place where people would inhabit, not only to reside there, but also to find protection. You think about this, a city was opposite of a tent. That's where Abraham was living in. He was living in a tent. Something he could pick up and take from place to place. Something that someone could easily probably come and overtake and run him out of. And the Bible tells us that he was looking for a city with foundations. In other words, an eternal city. Also, it says there that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. A city that is built by God. Now, there are some who believe he was referring to Jerusalem, the Jerusalem on earth, eventually being built. I don't believe that. The reason why I don't believe that is because, yes, God, I think, had his hand in establishing that city, but of course that city was built by men. I believe he's referring to the New Jerusalem, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 21. Actually, let me turn there this morning. I'll just read the first few verses so we can get a good look and understanding of this future city. Verse 1 says of Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I tell you what, I get excited just reading those four verses. That's our future. Do you realize that's the city that we look forward to? That's the time we look forward to with God. How much Abraham knew of this city, I don't know. I'm not sure what else God shared with him concerning the future, but he knew enough to look forward to it. He knew enough to plan on it and prepare for it. And that's what Abraham focused on. Now think about this. This will be a city with God as its architect. There'll be no power outages in this city. There are going to be no traffic jams in this city. I don't even know if we'll have cars. But there are going to be no problems in this city. God is the architect. Everything will stand and remain standing for eternity. Also, it'll be a city under God's direction and authority. Do you realize there'll be no more sin? There'll be no neighborhoods that you can't go down. There'll be no areas you've got to be careful of because you're just not sure if you want to put yourself at risk even just driving through. Do you realize it'll be a city under God's authority? There will be no sin. There'll be no, the Bible already says there'll be no suffering. All tears will be wiped away. This is going to be a time of joy, a time of happiness. I tell you what, we can't even comprehend the joy that God has for us. Also, I believe it's going to be a city with residents belonging to God. His people will be there. All those that will reside in the city will love him, honor him, cherish him, worship him, look to him. It's going to be a wonderful place to live and a wonderful place to be. I think that Abraham looked forward to this city because that's what he said right there. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, this morning, Abraham expected a future, I guess you could say a future life after death with God. That's what he expected. That's what he looked towards. He believed in eternal life, and he trusted that God would allow him to partake in it. A place with, as we've already mentioned, no pain and no suffering. And he looked and expected by faith. You see, Abraham was willing to ignore the present treasures of this earth. I believe he understood that living for God was more valuable than anything this world could offer. This morning, did you hear that? I believe Abraham understood that living for God was more valuable than anything this world could offer. You know, today, it's better to love your spouse and spend time serving together than it is to better your career or to enlarge your bank account. Now, I'm not against working hard and having a nice job, but you know, the Bible tells us the responsibilities we have as husband and wife, as mom and dad. Do you realize it's better for us to focus on those, even if it means we may lose some of the things in the world, because that's what God puts priority on. Also, you think about this, it's better to teach your children about God than it is to buy them the latest gadgets or fashions. Yes, you could please them in this world and give them everything they wanted, but if you fail to lead them after God, then you failed them. It's best to follow after God. You see, today more than ever, it's easy for believers to lose sight of the future, because there's so much to grab our attention, so much for us to enjoy in this world, that it's easy to lose sight of the future. I was reading a story of a man by the name of Charles Paul Kahn. He wrote a book called Making It Happen. And in this book, he shares this account. He was in Atlanta, and this is several years ago. He was in Atlanta, and he was looking for a place to eat, and he opened up the telephone book, and he began to thumb through the yellow pages, and he saw a restaurant there called the Church of God Grill. Well, just the name provided a little bit of curiosity. So he got the telephone, he called up, and they answered. They said, "Hello, Church of God Grill." And he asked, he said, "Well," he goes, "I just have a question for you." He said, "How did you get the name? Where did that come from?" And the man on the other end of the line said, "Well," he said, "you know, there used to be a little mission here. It was a church. And afterwards, we started to have dinners, and afterwards, people started to find out that we made some good dinners," and he goes, "we began to sell chicken after services to make money." He said, "Well, you know what? It went really well. Business took off. Eventually, we cut back on our services so we could sell more chicken, and now," he said, "that's all we do is sell chicken." From my understanding, it's a true story. You see, that church lost sight of the eternal. They lost sight of the things that mattered, and now they're no longer a church. It's just a restaurant. I don't know if the restaurant still exists today, but that's what happened. That's the direction they went, and they became the Church of God Grill instead of being a church for the Lord. You see, Abraham never lost sight of the eternal. I believe he expected to have a permanent residence with God, and he looked beyond this earth to the future. You see, true faith looks forward to God. It has hope in God. You know, this morning, our view of the future, or lack of, is what usually becomes the problem. And I'm going to just give you three thoughts on this, and then we'll get ready to wrap this message up. Some have no view of the future at all. They're just so caught up with the world. They're just so in love with the things of the world. Now, we have to have jobs. We have to have careers. We should get an education. But we need to have our priorities correct and understand that we need to seek God out, trust God, of course, live for God, read His Word. You see, if we're not careful, we can have no view of the future because we're just so focused on right now, what we can do today. Then there are some that have the wrong view of the future. Now, there's a notion out there, and it's being promoted by a lot of churches, that believe that we are what's called in the kingdom now. In other words, that we're here to prepare this place for God to come, and God will come down, and then God, once we make this a nice place here on earth, then God will come down and reside. No wonder so many Christians are trying to accumulate treasures. They think they're preparing this place for God. They have the wrong view. We can't prepare anything for God. God is going to come and bless this place with His presence. You see, God is the one who's going to establish His kingdom. And by the way, I'll say this, it's not working. Anyone who would make an obvious look into what is called kingdom now would have to say it's not working. They're not reaching the world. They're not making a change. The Bible tells us the opposite will occur before the Lord returns, that the world will go into, a time of separation from God, and then God will come and judge the world. Here's the third one, a clouded view. This is probably the one that most believers, struggle with, a clouded view. And you know what this is? This is not necessarily being in love with the world. This is just being preoccupied with the world. We know God, we know His Word, we've trusted in Christ, we're saved, we know we should be looking to the future, but sometimes we just get preoccupied with things. Now this morning, if you've gotten preoccupied with something, I'm not telling you to go and get rid of it. What we need to do is just put our priorities right and seek God. Maybe we do need to seek forgiveness. Maybe there is someone here that in your heart God has shown you that you have placed too much importance on something and you just need to cut back on it and go in that direction after God. Either way, we need to focus on God and the future. You know, this morning, I think a sad trend in Christianity is that most of the sermons, most of the books, most of the Bible studies that you'll find in our bookstores and that people go through, most of them focus on how well life can be today. And they do. And most of them make no apology for that. It's all focused on making life good right now. Now, I'm not against, having things and living right now, but very few people focus on the future anymore. We're so caught up with right now, we're not looking towards heaven and living as if we're going to stand before God and live with Him. You see, Abraham expected, by faith, he expected to stand before God. He expected to have a residence with God. And that's what he lived for. You know, in closing this morning, Abraham simply followed by faith. That's all it is. You know, when you go back through this, he just trusted God. He emigrated from his homeland because God said so. Even though he didn't know where he was going, he trusted God. And then he endured in this new land, believing that God still had a plan for him and that God would lead his life. And finally, he expected a heavenly land, that he would reside with God in a place where God would bless him. You know, this morning, if you look to the future, and if you look to heavenly treasures, I can probably make this guarantee that you will not make this earth your prime residence. In other words, if you focus on things of God, yes, you'll live here. Yes, you'll probably, God may bless you with a career, and you'll have, may even bless you with wealth. But if you look to the future, you won't trust in those things. You'll put your trust in God, and you'll live for Him. This morning, I hope and pray that each of you is looking to the future, that you consider the future. Consider your life with God and your eternal life after death. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. As we have this time of prayer, if there's anybody here, Lord, that you've worked in their heart, I pray that they'll get things.